Wow, that's a milestone. This is a silver anniversary edition. Yeah, we have a special guest tonight. Got my guy Gene.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And we got Davy Crockett over to the right. You know, my guy Johnny Bott here as usual. And I just heard about Gene a couple of weeks ago because you know, we had on Antoine, and he runs, you know, the BLA basketball league in Boston, and you know, he told me about you a little bit, and I saw a podcast you were on, saw you're an interesting guy, do a lot for the community, you know, helping the kids and stuff. And I was just talking to you out here. You're from Malden originally, but
originally grew up in Malden, Mass. Yep.
But Everett transplant.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Know a few Everett guys. So yeah, tell us a little bit about yourself. What you do over in Everett.
Well, you know,
and how you met Mike Lush.
But my name's Gene. I'm originally from Malden, Mass. You know, grew up there my whole entire life. I've been like Antoine, I've been in the community working with the kids in the community. graduated from Malden class of 2000. It's kind of long, you know, years ago. Played all four sports. I played basketball, football, baseball. I excelled in it pretty well. And I started a basketball league called Church League Basketball Organization.
CLBO?
CLBO, yep.
All right. I heard about CLBO a little bit. And how long, when did you start that? And what do you got going on there now?
So I started that in 2000. And how it got started. So my daddy's a reverend, and you know, I've been in church my whole entire life, but when I moved over to Everett, you know, I really didn't know how to fit in, because like I was a sports guy, you know what I'm saying? I was into sports and other little, you know, different things. The minute we got to the church, there was like a whole bunch of people there. You know what I mean? I'm like, you know, what do I do? You see a whole bunch of kids or whatever. So I started, I put a basketball tryout like on the bulletin board, and you know, I wasn't expecting anybody to try out, but over 50 kids, you know, adults and teens, they all tried out. And yeah, that's how we got started. It went from four teams all the way down to 40 teams now.
Wow, huh?
Yeah.
Got it going on. And you know, yeah. Everett, when you first went there, you know, Everett, you know, known for their football, you know, primarily, right? And
yeah.
They always got a great football team.
Jake Wilcox, right?
Everett High. Yeah, Wilcox is, yeah. Do you know Jerry DePiro?
Oh, yeah.
We could do a whole show on Jerry DePiro. But there's some, write that down, Johnny. We got to get him in here. Yeah, I know Jerry pretty good. You know, he's a good guy. And his kids are just good people.
His sister's my boss.
Really?
Yeah, Nicole DePiro.
Oh, all right. So what do you do other than, you know?
I work for the Everett Housing Authority.
So oh, okay.
You get people housing and things like that, so.
All right. So yeah. You see a lot of interesting people.
Oh, yeah.
We know along the way.
Oh, yeah.
So how did you meet Mr. Lush and Antoine? Obviously, you know, in the basketball league.
Well, Mike Lush, man, he's a monster on the court. No, he is. Like, you know, like, honestly, you know, when you see guys, he's probably one of the most competitive guys I've ever met. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, at his age, you know, knocking down jumpers and killing dudes half his age. It's crazy. you know, just watching that. And I even told Antoine, I said, Antoine, man, this guy's an animal yelling at people. I've never seen anything like it. And I've been doing it for years. And this guy, man, he has no filter with his mouth. He goes off, you know what I mean? And when he says he's going to do something, he does it. So, you know, it's not to try to like gas him up, but, yeah, you know, watch him play, you'll see it.
Yeah. I've seen him in action a little bit. You know, he's great though, you know?
He's an animal.
I just want to know how you play in that getup. It seems like it would be uncomfortable. You'd sweat a lot.
No, I'm used to it. You know what I mean? I mean, this thing people don't understand. I went to a Lowell. And I got this thing. It had rabies and everything. I saved his life. Look at it now. It's unbelievable on me. Yeah. You know what I mean?
When he first had it, it was all the hair was all matted. There was blood on it.
Oh, yeah.
There was fleas in it. It was the craziest thing. But he like washed it all up and he...
I brought it back to life, basically.
Yeah,
you know,
Johnny? I like that.
I brought it back to life.
Might be a new fashion decision for me. I don't know. I think it looks good on you.
Still a winter, Johnny. You know what I mean? Still a winter.
Maybe in Massachusetts, it's always the winter. Still winter,
yeah. I think, you know, people like Lush and yourself and everything, I think that's, you know, the one of the best things, right, about sports. I mean, so many keeping kids out of trouble, you know, everything. I mean, you got associated with the church, which is a great thing. But, you know, where someone like Lush can come in and play, like Lush could go, I believe Lush could go and play anywhere, right? Yeah. You could send him anywhere. He could be the only white guy or whatever the case may be, right? And everyone, you know, it brings people together. Sports brings people together and it's just a good thing. And I gotta go check out some of your games. We got Ants.
We got a date. I guess we got a date to go, right?
Yeah.
The 27th.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's gonna be crazy.
Yeah,
it's Sunday. It's a Sunday.
We got a DJ there and everything, right?
It's gonna be crazy. It's gonna be crazy.
Now, how many teams we got?
Well, you know, originally you had, like I said, you had 40 that want to sign up, but I have a player in the league, his name's Pierre Sully. He was telling me years ago, he told me, he said, you know what, you should keep it to a minimum like of 12. Cause once you start, cause 1 year, I try to keep all 20, you know, do it on Saturdays and Sundays. And it kind of gets messy. You know what I'm saying? It loses it. So we narrowed it down to 12 and we have 5 games a Sunday and it's going to be rocking, man. It's going to be some of the best talent you've ever seen, man. Go out there and play.
I love watching that. You know what I mean? Like, you know, guys that can play. You know, when you see someone who can really play, it's like, it just seems effortless, some of these guys. You know, they make it look so easy. You know? Mr. Lush.
Oh, yeah.
We'll ask Gene after. Yeah. Well, no, it'll be biased, right? Who's going to win it?
This better be the right answer. I mean, I'm just saying.
Gene, who's gonna win it?
Honestly, I mean, like I said in the previous interview, BLA, man. Listen, this isn't because Antoine's my boy, or Lush is my boy. They built a monster down there. They got killers on that team, man.
Yeah,
they got real certified killers on that team. I know a lot of people are gonna be mad, but it is what it is.
I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I just you know, because I hear it from them, so I haven't got somebody else that is involved in this. You know, I mean, obviously, I believe what they're saying, but
yeah,
they do got a squad, huh?
Oh yeah, they got a squad, and then they added this guy. It makes it. He's a coach on the court, man.
I'm anxious to see this guy. I mean, he come in with this getup. The last thing I thought this guy was. I mean, we don't prepare for these things. Me and Mike just hit the shit. The last thing I thought this fucking guy was a basketball player. I'm gonna be honest with you.
The best is you read the comments, right? And people are like, I've never heard of this guy before. I've never seen this guy play. It's like, how do you, you know, I'm so crazy off the wall, right? Like,
that's awesome.
So, and Gene, you know, Gene is right. You know, something about me is I don't change for nobody. Like, I mean, that's my setting, right? So if I play in the inner city of Boston, I'm the only white guy, I'm going to say the craziest things that I would if there was a bunch of white guys there. That's just how I am. I played.
Yeah, you don't switch up or nothing.
So people either hear about me or they don't hear about me. So when you read those comments that they never heard about you, they must have known I watched basketball because I played everywhere. And, you know, to touch up on that, Gene does have a great league and I'm not being biased because he's here. I mean, this is a guy that, you know, put a lot of work into the community and Just the league itself. Like, you have these guys that played overseas. Like, you have like Shabazz Napier, who's, you know, playing the NBA. You know, he came to play in the league. You know, then you got a kid like Pat Connaughton who came to play a game. Like, so you get these guys that were NBA guys, like Tony Lee played Division I, was one of the best players in Boston. Or you have like Will Blaylock, like all these guys come out to the league because the league is good. And that's what Gene does is for the league. You know, it's like they're like real games, you know, it's like NBA games. And, you know, so when you have like good talent like that and you're going against other good talent, it is really fun to watch. And you know, I do get a little bit of I get crazy, but that's the fun part about the game, is because these guys will get crazy back with you, and it's like, you know, at the end of the day, I'm hugging and kissing them at the end of the day. When we're playing, I say the most craziest shit that you can think of.
He does.
You know? I could tell you a story right now where I can remember I was playing in the inner city of Boston, in Boston. Like, when you're talking about in the hood, when I'm the only white guy, right? And I'm scoring. And after I would score, I said, you know what? Black history is my mind. I'll take crazy things like that, right? I would say, so I hit a three and be, you know what? Black history is my mind, because I'm tapping the guy in the ass. Like, so like, guys remember that, like, this kid's a nut. Like, what is he doing? He's weird. But that's just things that I used to do, right? Yeah. So like things like that. But yeah, no, Gene definitely does a great job with the league, man. And since I've been part of it, I've always wanted to come back, because it's just that good, you know.
Yeah. 1 year he actually, you know, this guy, I think he tore his or either sprained his knee or whatever.
Achilles.
And the Achilles. And then the following year he's talking about, oh, I want to play. I'm like, what the hell? I'm like, yo, this dude's an animal, man.
That's going to be the worst rupture in your Achilles, huh?
No, you watch all these Larry Bird documentaries, you know, like how like this white dude's covering me, it's disrespectful. I felt the same way.
Yeah.
I did. And it's like, it was my own little thing. Like, you're going to have this white dude cover me. Cause you know, when you play, right, you're in the inner city, like what, you have three white guys in the whole park, right?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I'm going to cover that guy. No, you don't want to cover me, but like, I want someone else to cover me. And I would tell him that. I would say, I swear to God, I don't cover me. Go to someone different. Cause I'm going to give you 50 tonight in front of your wife. Like, so I would say crazy off the wall shit. Like, after I would score, I'd be like, hey, I need the black guy to cover me. I can't have a white dude cover me. Like, this is, you know, I would say crazy nonsense stuff like that.
It's good for the league, man.
I'm gonna be there to watch because of you. I talked to this guy, but I'm not gonna see you.
I'm gonna say some crazy shit.
I can't wait.
You know, hearing about all this and you know, it gets real competitive, obviously, right? You know how it is when you're playing sports. Yeah. You know, sometimes tempers flare, this, 100%. That. So what I want to ask you is, who do you get to ref these games? Because it's got to be a tough assignment sometimes, right?
You know, like refing games in the joint. The refs in the joint always got abused.
No, so it's got to be a tough assignment somewhat.
We got a guy, his name's BMO. He's no nonsense. He's a good guy. And then his buddy named Sherm. So we got those two guys coming out. You know, they're no nonsense. They're pretty good guys. You know, so they're well known. But
they're kind of hood guys too, which is, you need that, right? You need like a guy that, you know, if you have a guy out here from like Beverly, right? You're like, who the fuck is this guy?
If you got a referee
that you know that was from Mission Hill in the 90s, right? This guy's from Mission Hill from the 90s. You know, he's not taking no shit. So
100%.
You can't get crazy, you know, so you don't get too crazy. If, you know, you get that white guy coming, you're like, ah, fuck it. I can say a couple weird, crazy things. You can't say too many crazy things.
I seen that in the joint where you had these guys, like unassuming guys, they thought they knew basketball. When that ball, like, they took this course for like 3 months. They went down rec every day. After the first game, they were horrified. They couldn't come back. Like, you have to have thick skin. You have to have thick skin for sure.
They'll scream right back at you. You say something crazy, they'll come right back with you. It's like, yeah, that's what you need, you know? So it's good.
In 5 minutes, I got excited for this. I'm going to tell you, honest to God, I can't wait to go watch this.
So. You guys pump it up already, but, you know, pump it up some more. But I can't wait either with the DJ. Like, it's going to be, where is it? In Revere, right?
Yeah, it's in Revere. We were over at, last year, we were over at Pope the Lafayette. John. Pope John, and then we went to the Lafayette. And then now we're at the AC Whalen School in Revere.
Behind the Valari.
No, they used to play there. Behind Valari, but it's not far from Chris's place.
Yeah, it's not that far.
Yeah. So when is it?
The 27th.
April 27th.
April 27th.
Sunday. It's a Sunday.
All right. I bet you're already looking at the weather, right? Now you look 2 weeks ahead. You're trying to see. Yeah, I mean, it's tough, the 2 week forecast, but you're checking it out. What do you got so far? Do you think?
No, it looks good. Everything's looking good. You know, so yeah, everything's looking good. We just gotta kind of set up, be in there a little bit early, get the DJ going. You know what I mean? Free food.
Yeah.
And all that. So
got the
Well, you got Mike now. Yeah, got some Mike's a sucker for free food. So, I mean, I gotta admit I am too.
I was talking to Johnny today. I was working out, like, you know, I don't want to say like an animal, that might be really stretching it, right? But I was eating real good for like 2-3 months and I got down to like, I was trying to break 200 pounds. I got down to like 205, 204. And then a couple of months ago, I just fell off. Right now, I'm about 220, 218, 219. So I put it all back on, you know. And then this morning, I'm like, I want a donut real bad, right? And so I just stop and get a – and I remember reading something about Mark Wahlberg, like he's beefing up to play this role. He's putting on like 50, 65. So in my mind, I'm like, you know, I'm just beefing up to play this big fat podcast guy. And then I'm just going to lose it all, you know.
I told him today, after he told me that, right, Justin, I said, listen, that's great for Mark Wahlberg. You have 12 million. You're doing a podcast at Braintree, pal. Come on.
Mike, I'm feeling the same way with my fupa. I got the fupa like right above my dinky. Right above my dinky a little bit. I'm trying to be a fat basketball player.
Nah, you got no fupa. You got no fupa.
I got the fupa above the dinky a little bit. You know what I mean? That's my role.
So getting back to Everett, Mass. About your job and with the Everett Housing, what else do you do there? You help like you know, people get on a list for housing, all that type of thing.
And then you gotta deal with evictions and all that, which is never pretty. You know, I mean, we just evicted somebody. I think it was last week. 6 kids. It was ugly. It was an ugly scene, man.
Yeah,
housing's the worst, man, when it comes to that. So
you know, whenever you see that, you say, hey. You know, I've known people have done it, right, that have gotten housing, they're paying like $118 a month, and then they get evicted because they're not paying their rent or this and that. And you think, how could you screw that up, right?
Yeah.
How could you screw that up? So what was, like, what are the things you're evicted for? Drug use, non-payment of rent?
A non-payment of rent, violation of lease, you know.
Letting people stay there that are on the lease.
Dirty unit. I mean, I've seen some stuff, man. There's some stuff that I've seen, you know, people living in basements, you know. Especially with that whole ice thing that's going on, so that was pretty ugly.
I've been talking about that the last couple of podcasts. So now they're saying the guy was a gang member or something. But this prison, did you read about this prison in El Salvador? That they sent?
Yeah. That's
bananas.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Bananas.
That's crazy.
They keep the lights on 24/7.
Yeah.
25 guys in a cell, lush, no mattress.
Well, I wonder how those basketball refs are doing.
The last thing you're thinking about is how can I sports league over there?
It's a tough assignment over there. But the immigration thing, actually a friend of mine, there was a thing on the news yesterday, ICE arrested a guy in New Bedford. You see where they smashed the car window and pulled the guy through the window?
Yeah, pulled him right out.
Wow.
Yeah, and they yanked him out. And a friend of mine's a lawyer. He's representing the guy, so he's getting a lot of airtime. But yeah, that's crazy what's going on with that right now. You know, it's
funny you talk about that, Mike. As you know, like obviously being on the podcast before you, I coach high school baseball, obviously in Chelsea, and I coach middle school basketball in Chelsea and stuff. And, you know, Chelsea is a lot of Spanish. And I can remember like during the basketball season and right now, currently during the baseball season, kids can't make practice. And they're already telling like, hey, coach, I just want to let you know I can't make practice because this is what's happening. So like they're not even coming to practice because like they're nervous of like what's going on. So it's like, you know, they're missing games and they're missing practice. And it's like, what do you tell the kids? Like, you're going to be suspended. Like, how do I do that? You know?
Yeah.
So I'm going through that right now as we talk right now in my baseball season now with ICE. They're just like, they can't make practice. Like, coach, I can't come today. You know why? And I'm just, they give me the wink and I just know. I'm like, just stay home until you figure out what's going on.
I'll tell you what, right? Like I can understand, you know, I get it. If someone's a gangbanger or a criminal, they're over here just, you know, ripping and robbing and stealing, you know, you get it, right? And then you got people that come back, but they come in the country legally. I get it. I get the whole argument. But you got people that come here and set up and they're working and they got kids here. It sucks. The whole situation sucks, you know? Yeah. Especially if you know somebody personally and you're like, damn, that would suck if they come and yoke them up, you know?
Mm-hmm. We had talked about that, like, you know, we talked about it a couple episodes. We've been talking about it a lot. We always say like, hey, get all these people out of the country. They don't belong here. But then you know people individually. Like, get everybody out. These people shouldn't, they don't belong here. And then you're like, but this family here, they're sweethearts. You can't hang out with them. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, I mean, you know, there's things like, you know, that you put every kind of sweep everybody into one category. Yeah. And then, you know, there's a human level to all this stuff. You know what I mean? So and I don't have the answer. You know, I'm just commentating on it, but you know, it's a very difficult situation. And I can see, you know, when you have these kids that you've fostered relationships with, that are great kids that you see like doing great things, like, and you know, they're like, they were going to be a problem, but you brought them into these organized sports. They're turning out to be good kids, man.
Some of them couldn't even play baseball, right? When they started.
Sounds difficult.
Some of these kids, like Lush taught him everything. He's like a, you know how it is with a coach, like a father figure almost for a lot of these kids. A lot of these kids, their fathers ain't around.
Oh, yeah. Like,
you know, they'll remember you forever, you know? Well, I mean.
Most of our kids, everybody, they don't have dads. You know, like I said in the last episode I was on, we have kids. Mike, we have kids that don't even know where left field is. So we'd have practice. Hey, go out to left field. We're going to catch fly balls. Like, hey, coach, where's left field?
Wow.
So like we do, like, so when I like speak to my athletic director or I speak on like behalf of the kids, like I don't care about, John, I don't care about wins and losses at all. My job is for you to become a high school graduate and become good in your life. Like, so I'm undefeated. So this is my seventh year.
That's awesome.
This is my seventh year doing it.
Awesome.
Yeah. I'm undefeated. We haven't won a league game in the last 5 years, but at the end of the day, I don't care that we lost to Revere 22-5. Yeah. At the end of the day, when that kid comes to me, I go, coach, can you do me a favor and write me a recommendation? I have a job that I want you to be my guy for. That to me, I won.
Yeah.
I won.
Oh, 100%. Right?
So now all of a sudden that same kid that I've had for the last 3 years can't come to practice because he's like, coach, you know why? I just, you know, and that's my guy. Like, these are my guys. So when they don't have to come and tell me like, hey, coach, it's ice right there. I didn't know.
Yeah.
When they're like, hey, coach, you know why? I'll see you when I see you. Like, it's just a hot woman. It's, I feel bad for the kid because I know their lives personally, not even like with no dad or have to watch their mother or their brother or sister, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
But to be able not to come to practice because you're scared to death that you're going to, like, this is the last time.
Yeah.
Think about what those kids go through.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of like, it's a tough situation, you know, but we win in life. My job is teaching these kids how to become young men, and I've done that. I don't care about baseball. Who gives a shit? We're going to win. We're going to lose. I don't care. But if you graduate and you have a good job and you're like, you're a good kid, we won. We're undefeated right now. So.
That's awesome.
And then you think you see on the news where like Massachusetts is, you know, that we're a sanctuary city and you feel like now Trump's like, oh, we're going to send a message, right? We're coming to Boston and we're going to, you know, fuck shit up, right? You know what I mean? And that's what you're saying. Like, oh man, why are they poking the beer, right? It's going to make it worse for these people, you know, when you see that and it's just every day you wait and then you'll see it on the news. Oh, you know, blah, 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 and Lawrence. Or, hey, well, you see him grabbing people. And I saw a thing the other day, a guy, you know, he was going to court for drunk driving and ICE grabbed him in the elevator and he tried to run in the courthouse and they bundled him, you know. But, it's a bad situation. Speaking of Chelsea, there was a shooting there yesterday, right? Was it Bellingham Square? Was it today?
Today.
Where was it? Was it Bellingham Square?
Bellingham.
I saw it like on the news real quick. They saw the kid running like across the street or something. Did they arrest anybody? Or?
It was one of my players. I hope he got away. I'll be honest with you.
He was trying to escape.
I didn't see anything.
He ran to left field.
Hey, you know what left field was? Fucking kid. No, but I think you're right. Honestly, like you and Johnny touched on it. You know, it just, you know, you get rid of the people that are doing bad things, you know, but when you have these kids and people that are wanting to do well and want to support their family, it's just why do it? You know, I see where you're coming from with, you know, the different arguments. It's like, you know, it's a touchy subject, but
I had a close friend who was deported years ago, way before all this stuff. And I'd still go visit him. He was in Tijuana and his kids were, you know, at the time they were like 9 and 10. You know, they're like 18. They're like 20 now. Jesus, they're getting up there. But every day they'd come stay with him in Tijuana. And every morning they go through the border crossing into San Diego and go to high school and give their, you know, grandmother's address and go to school. But they're with the father. And I'm like, man, imagine getting deported. Like, they're a little different when you're going to Venezuela and everything. It's far South America. But imagine getting deported right where the border's like, you know, you can look and see it.
Yeah.
And you're right there. And America's right there. I'm not going to tell any of yous, I'm sure yous know, but trying to survive in those countries, it's a tough assignment. I mean, America, you can go out and get money every day, whether you go out and shoplift or commit crimes or go to work a day and work for $150, you can get money. You know, some of these countries, you work all month, you get $20, $30, you know what I mean? It's tough. But I used to go visit him and say, wow, man, San Diego's right there, you know, quarter mile away, or San Ysidro, right at the border, right? He can't go, you know. So, yeah, it sucks. It's tough. It's a tough assignment. But he's been trying to come back. Hopefully, he gets back. But like Mike was saying about these kids, you must have a lot of stories of young kids that you helped out that come from tough backgrounds, right?
Oh yeah,
and it's got to be great when you see them, you know, developing and starting to get confidence and be successful.
Absolutely. You know, we have I got stories for days. You know, especially I mean, I don't want to put the personal business out there, but you know, I have stories of kids that you know, on the streets, on drugs, you know, and they come to the league. It's kind of like you have like a father figure, you have a coach, you know, that kind of, you know, steers guys in the right direction, and they come back, you know, months later and they're like, yo, I really needed that. The season really helped me out. So,
yeah,
you know, it's great. It's
that's the stuff that makes it worth it, you know, and especially being with the church, you must do a lot of stuff too with the kids with the church.
Oh, right? Absolutely.
It don't hurt. I was talking about it last night where when I get off alcohol and drugs myself, I went down to a rehab in Florida, and I'd been to a million rehabs around Boston. And this was one of the first times they were like, you know, trying to get me to pray. And I'm like, I'm not religious. You know, I mean, I grew up Irish Catholic, but I stopped, you know, I got my first communion and all that. And I stopped going to church years ago. And I'm like, I don't really, you know, this and that. And then they were like trying to get me every day to, like, in the morning, say a prayer when you get up and before you go to bed, say a prayer before you go to bed. And I remember at the time I was so desperate. My life was so bad, you know, coming off the drugs. I just said, you know, if someone would have said to me, hey, I'll give you something to get high if you just say a prayer real quick in the morning and say, you know, say another one at night before you go to bed, you know what I mean? I'll throw you a fucking bag. I'm sure I wouldn't have hesitated, right? You know, and like Johnny would say, like, you know, there's no atheist in a foxhole. Whenever you're in a pinch, plenty of times I've been in a holding cell, like, oh, God, man.
Please.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, get me out of this, man, you know? I'll never do it again. So when I began my journey of recovery, I started doing that, and I fell off for a little while, but I started saying a prayer every morning, every night, like, you know, who cares? What am I going to draw this line in the sand and make this battle? Like, I don't believe there's no God. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I started doing it. And, you know, here I am 12 years later. I haven't felt the need to go back to, you know, alcohol or drugs. So, you know, something, you know, works sometimes. Right, Johnny?
100%. I'm saying, you know, they say just, you know, a higher power is, you know, the creator is nature. Nature is the creator. However you want to envision it. Everybody's concept is personalized. And, you know, I mean, for me, I always say, I go to church on Sundays, you know, and I say, I just go to visit my mother. My mother's dead. I know my mother's going to be in church every Sunday. Mm. You know what I mean? And, you know, to kind of springboard off that a little bit, what you guys do is, you know, my philosophy now moving forward is, after I was in prison for 27 years, I don't know if you guys know my story and stuff, but so I try to, my philosophy now is, you know, I put my mother through hell, but I try to do something every single day to make my mother proud. I mean, everybody knows it's redundant, but now what you guys do, I'm saying, that's like something to really be proud of, man. And that's like, you know, that's, you know, it kind of gives me pause, almost choked me up a little bit about, like, you know, the thing you're doing individually for kids. Cause, you know, we're all adults now. Mm-hmm. We already been through that phase of our lives, but we know how difficult that is. And then I don't know if we can conceptualize it. Like Mike says, you know, in this country, you know, there's not bombs buzzing by your house. There's not people coming in your house taking stuff, you know, for the 99 percentile, you know, you want to go down the street and get a hamburger. You can go down the street and get a hamburger, you know, but we don't understand, you know, the realities of other people's lives and other people's subjective experiences. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, just, you know, that having been said, you know, what you guys do is phenomenal. Really should be proud of it. And, you know, I mean, that's what life is about. Life is about, you know, doing something greater than yourself for somebody greater than yourself, you know? So thank that's you. A great thing.
Thank you, Johnny. Thank you. Thank you, John.
Appreciate that.
It's like in recovery, right? You keep it by giving it away. You know, you help other people, and it comes back on you. You're helping yourself, you know. Mm-hmm. But growing up in Malden, what was your life growing up as a youngster? Your family, your brothers and sisters, mother and father.
I mean, I didn't grow up as tough as you guys, man. You know, so I mean, my life. I'm not saying I had the greatest life in the world. Father was a reverend. Brother's a doctor now. Sister's a psychologist.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. So they did good for themselves.
Around, you know, here, I mean? Massachusetts.
Yeah. Yeah. And no, my brother, he works at I think it's in Worcester Hospital.
All right.
Yeah. And
Mass Medical Center. Maybe, yeah. Or it used to be that.
Medical Center.
Yeah. I don't know what it is now.
My mother runs a big organization for women. You know, so it's you know, I'm not saying I was a preppy, but yeah, I got into trouble, you know what I mean? But it wasn't as tough as you guys.
I think it's tougher. I'm saying, you know, we
can't get a lot to live up to.
That's pretty commendable too.
It's crazy. Like we talk about sports, like think about like when you play sports in your life, think about like the people that come together. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about the things that we've been through, right? Johnny, Mikey, the things we kind of similar things kind of growing up and the way compared, he grew up, might not have been tough, but sports brought us together somehow. Like all these people that whether you're a drug addict or never done a drug, I've never done a drug, right? And we come together somehow through sports. So like sports is like you said earlier in the podcast, Mike, is sports definitely you come together and you meet people that you don't even think that you would ever even meet,
right?
You know, without playing sports. So sports brings people together, man. I can remember, you know, like I said, playing in his league where he runs the league in a tight ship compared to like when, you know, I was with Maki and Scotty and those guys in South Boston playing over like at that courthouse, and you're playing guys that were just like, just recovered like the day before, they're playing in, you know, jeans and boots, you know, like that league, you know, so like it just brings you together. You wouldn't think you'd ever meet these guys. You know, yeah. I'm a guy that was a guy that's never done drugs and any other stuff. I would never even think about it. And then you see these guys of what they've been through in their life just because of sports. You know, like I only got to know you because of sports, and I got to know how a great person you are. I was like, wow, you wouldn't think that because of, you know, without sports. So sports definitely bring people together big time, you know, and you don't think you're going to meet people until you play that sport. It's just pretty awesome.
Yeah. So, you know, all walks of life, you know, 100%. I mean, I always like to think I could go anywhere and get along and talk to anybody. I've always, you know, had knack, you know, where it's not like, oh, I'm not going to go to this neighborhood because it's this, or, you know, it's nobody like me or this, that, you know? And I remember I was in Miami somewhere. I was like, ran out of gas. It was like the worst neighborhood in Miami. And I ran in some store and, you know, these black kids had like a dolphin shirt. I'm like, Patriots are in town, boys. And they're like, oh, we got you. And my friend's like, what are you doing? And we're talking shit back and forth and laughing. And I walked out, I go, that's what sports does.
Yeah.
Right? No matter what, you have a common ground. Even if you're talking shit with each other or whatever, you know, it doesn't matter, you know. But yeah, sports definitely, you know. And I can't wait to see Lush do like it, you know.
I know. Listen,
now I feel like, I mean, I don't know if there's any more, you know, like pressure on you, but if you're going to be like,
well, I'm really going to have to
fucking, you know.
You don't have any.
Well, it's going to be crazy. I'll tell you right now, Paul, I'm going to start off the game, and every time I hit a three, I'm either going to say Bean Shooter or Johnny. I'm just going to, I'm going to try to score every time I look at you guys right in the eyes. Right? I'm going to have the hat on, I have the vest.
Nice, that's
shit.
What I like.
And, you know, and when people understand when you play sports, and, you know, some guys are different. You know, when the lights are on and people are watching, sometimes they don't play that well, right?
Yeah.
I was never like that. More people that watch, the more I just get
it
more.
Fires you up.
It gets more crazy, awesome. Right? You know, so like I said, saying things.
We'll be
like,
there for sure.
Oh, yeah. it'll be a good time to see you guys there. And you can see how good the league is, honestly. You know, like you said, you're going to see multiple different types of people, whether it's like people that were, you know, former people that were, you know, drug addicts or people that never drank or people that believe in God. Like there's
eclectic blend.
Correct. There's a big amount. The diversity is so rich in this league, and it's just nice to see from guys going like Division One to playing Division Three to not even playing because they fucked up in their lives, right? So it's going to be nice to see the amount of people that you'll see in the league and people getting fired up, and you know he got crowd, you know, and you know, listen, Gene, it's the Haitian crowd for some crazy reason. They get me going, right? So the people just come, right? They'll just come in and they'll buy tickets and they'll just watch the game like it's a legit real basketball game. Yeah. They're paying tickets to come in and watch you play.
He's right, because when we first started out it was like $2 to get in, but now it's like, you know what, I'm not really charging anymore, so it's like free to get in now. You know what I mean? So I want everybody to come and you know, pretty much come and watch.
Yeah, that's pretty cool too.
So what do you got? You got to be making some money to sell. Are you selling shirts? You doing anything?
Not really. I'm trying to apply for a grant like this. Well, this big grant. So hopefully we're just waiting for that to come through.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's really, all the funding goes, it's like, it's from the league fee. You know what I mean? Guys think like I got a stash somewhere, but it's not like that. It's all from the league fee. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, you use that money to do all this
to
stuff.
To do all that stuff, yeah.
Oh man, it's gonna be good.
Be
so you're out there balling?
Bills?
No. I just run it on the background. Okay, you know what I mean? Because the league, it transitions like, so basically we got a Facebook group page, and that's where all the drama happens. So like, I know there's some leagues.
Tripping each other.
It gets nuts. It gets nuts because it's like, there's certain leagues out there that it's like, okay, you know, you play basketball and then, you know, you kind of go home. But what the beauty of the Facebook page, what it does, what I did is I try to like create like an environment. So like on, if you're playing on Sunday, on Monday, you're going to hear about it. So I write news articles, right? I do postings, right. Highlight reels. I do interviews like what you guys are doing now, all of that. I put that all on the page. So now it's like the guy's playing on Sunday. And then he knows on Monday he's going to hear about it. You know what I mean? So yeah. I created like a little Stephen A. Smith character cartoon.
Yeah. Unbelievable. It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's because that's the
something. You do the talking and you like some AI. Like, how's that working?
It's like a, so it's like a text to speech thing that I created.
Oh, all right.
And it has like a Stephen A. Smith's voice and it talks. It talks trash. Cool. It's crazy. And guys, there are a lot of guys that like it, you know? So they love the drama, man. They love it. It's like, there's some guys like, oh, I don't want to hear about that. But yet they're sending me all the information.
Yeah.
Yo, my inbox is crazy.
They're stirring it up.
It's crazy.
They're stirring up the pot.
Yeah, they think I'm the one that, I'm like, it's not me, it's you guys. All you guys like that.
The interviews are the best though. When you interview, because you gotta understand, when you play on Sunday, you want to be that guy to be interviewed, right? You know, because now your buddies are watching, you know, and you're on the page, right? Yeah. So you want to be able to play well.
Yeah.
You know, if you play well, of course you're gonna get interviewed, especially if your team wins the game.
Yeah.
You know, he'll come over and interview, and it's just it's perfect. You know, because now you can razz some guys. Yeah. Like, hey, you know, like when I had my interviews, I told the guys, I run the city of Boston. This is my city. I can run the city. You know what I mean? Like, you know, that's what I say. Like Black History is my favorite month. Like, that's what I'm trying to tell you guys, and they don't get it. But you know, you razz them and have some fun, and it's just like I said, it's just unbelievable.
Get them going, man.
So it's a lot of work.
Yeah, it's a lot. Yeah, man, it's a lot of work, man. Like, people don't realize when you're staying up until like 4 o'clock in the morning designing posters, like all of that, I have to do it. Cause it's like, it's better that I do it rather than, you know, paying for something I don't have.
Yeah.
So I had to learn all that, you know, graphics and all that. I had to learn all that on my own. You know what I mean? That's so,
awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of work, a lot of time. I mean, I wake up like, oh, I got to put up a post, and you know, this and that. But I couldn't, you know, all that. That's a ton of work.
It's a lot of work, man.
But hopefully, like you said, you know, start getting some grants and, you know, make things a little easier.
Yeah, we're on the verge. We're on the verge of one. So, you know, hopefully, you know, fingers crossed.
yeah, we're gonna make that happen.
I know.
Serious. You got Jerry putting any money behind you? He should listen, Jerry. Jerry should be sponsoring all this. He should be buying.
The guy's loaded, man.
Yeah, Jerry. Jerry, kick it in.
You heard the accent in his voice, too, when he said loaded, so you know he needs business. You know what I mean? You know he needs business when he said loaded like that, you know? His voice changed and everything. You know what I mean? The Haitian came out a little bit.
He blowed up a little bit.
Kick it in.
I mean, Jerry, just saying, Jerry, that accent was crazy.
Yeah, you're like the face of everything. Yeah, come on. Yeah, what the fuck are you doing, Jerry?
Yeah, that's sports is pretty amazing. We just had Jermaine Wiggins in here a few nights ago.
Yeah, that's great.
And, the best. Jermaine's just, you know, he put us on the map, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He really put us on, like, in the big league. So we liked him. And he, you know, he was a big BNBL guy. He was a Boston Neighborhood Basketball League. We all play together. That's, you know, that was our thing when we were kids, man. But, you know, it's great to see that, you know, just a few guys, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we had, was it Antoine on?
Yeah.
And then, you know, just to bring that kind of spirit with them, like you did too. And it's, listen, that's great. And I mean, and I don't take it for granted, because I know when I was a kid how, you know, that was like the BNBL was everything.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Exactly. People came to our neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. We went to their neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. That was everything, you know, mm-hmm. So.
I played in the BNBL. So I growing up in Chelsea, I played in East Boston.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I played for Eastie, yeah.
Okay.
And we played over at Power Street.
Power Street Gym, yeah.
Right over at Power Street.
Mm-hmm. Joe Weddleton.
Yeah. And I can remember like shooting from the corner indoors, and you shoot from the corner, you hit the
track.
You hit the top of the
track.
This is crazy.
Wow.
But like, so I was there, I think I want to say I had to be maybe about a senior in high school. And, you know, I think like the team that we had, we had a pretty good, you know, we had a pretty good team. And, you know, I can remember we went out to, South Boston to play. And I remember the, the like the amount of police and the details they had just for the game.
Yeah.
You're like, this is like, you know, because you don't ever really play, you don't ever really think of it, you know? Mm-hmm. So you'd go there and you see these guys playing, and it's like, oh my God, like the police just around, and like just the atmosphere was like nuts, and like the fights and the people screaming and yelling. I'm like, this is, it was like my third game in, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is unbelievable, you know? Just to, you don't experience that. Like, I went to Saugus High School, you know? So, you know, I didn't experience like this stuff, like kind of like not really playing in Chelsea until, you know, right, until I came back home, you know, but it was unbelievable. You know?
That's great. So you say you coach Chelsea High?
I do.
Now, was there a football coach there? How long have you been to Chelsea High?
I've been at Chelsea High. I'm going on my sixth year. I coached middle school basketball. Yeah. I've been there. I did my seventh year, and then high school baseball varsity is my sixth year. Awesome. And then I also help for varsity basketball as well too.
Okay. So I guess my brother Charlie coached Chelsea High for a while. Charlie was a coach over there too. Yeah, Chelsea. Charlie Bartolomeo. Mm. But this was probably a lot longer than 6 years ago. Maybe closer to 10 years ago. Yeah. It's amazing. You know, just Mike. Listen, we know like there's not enough hours in a day. Imagine, you know, giving a few hours to somebody else every single day. Yeah. You know what I mean? Mm. And just devoting that time. It takes a special individual. I feel like I'm being pulled in like 8 different directions, you know? Mm. So it's kind of, I'm in a lot of conundrums about trying to, you know, spread my time out. And then, you know, giving back to the community, it's an amazing thing.
And once it's something you're doing, it's not something you can do half-heartedly. It's something to be real proud of too, man.
You know what I'm saying? That's a great thing.
I think that's the thing too, is like, the reward that you get too, Johnny, is like, and you know this probably too, like obviously being like a life coach and different things, like when they come back, you know, like we had the kids come back every year, and it's like, I can remember when you were a freshman and you couldn't catch a baseball. Yeah. Now you're an electrician and you're making more money than me, you know, and you're coming and you're coming back to, you know, look at the team, or, you know, just help out the team, or, hey, giving us sponsors, like, hey, here's $500. Cause you know, when I played 5 years ago, you did everything for me. Here, get the kids some game shirts, or, hey, get the kids some, sweatshirts. Phenomenal. So it's like, that's not just the only case. It's just like the kids that you see, it's just, you know, when you put this effort in and you see the kids like really kind of, you know, doing the best that they can, and you know their life because you lived their life. You know, think about like the way that we grew up. I wish, you know, I kind of wish I had a guy or someone that could take after me and try to guide me into the right direction and help me out. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had no father growing up. My mother was, collected, you know, unemployment, welfare, and we had Section 8, right? So we were the ones that were paying $118 a month. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I wish I had a dad that could do that for me. So when you see these kids and they've done what you're doing, and you're like, dude, I've already done all that. Believe me, just listen to what I'm saying, and you're going to be fine. And they listen, and it really pans out. You're like, wow. Anytime the kids come back, you get like that excitement. You're like, oh, I want to do it again. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's just, that's what it's all about. It's like, and you know, we teach all different kids, basketball, baseball, football, you know, you're teaching all these kids. It's not like one sport I coach, you know? So for them to come back, it's just, and Gene, I'm sure you probably experienced it. Mike, I'm sure you experienced it, seeing guys that, you know, you've seen that were probably in recovery, come back and doing well. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's an unbelievable thing. Mm-hmm. Like, wow, I won, you know? Yep. And I didn't do anything. I just tried to change your life just to be, you know, it was easy. I didn't do any, I didn't have to do anything hard, you know? So for them to come back, it's pretty cool.
And on the other side, it sucks when you see someone that doesn't listen to you, right? And, you know, goes running with the gangs or the other kids and gets in trouble, and you see him get jammed up. And, you know, in my my line of work, you know, when you see someone leave and they relapse, and they, you know, you try to help, and then you find out they overdosed or died. You know what I mean? It's always, you always get that. You always get those stories too. That sucks. Where you know, but you know, it doesn't. You know, you can't let that stop you from doing what you do and trying to help people. You know, some people get jaded and they don't want to do it anymore when certain shit happens, but you can't. You can't let that get to you, you know?
Johnny, I had a question for you.
Sure.
I know a little bit about your life and your background, which is unbelievable. Like, I didn't know anything about sports. Can you tell me a little bit about like sports, like how, like we like obviously with sports you played and things like that. I mean, I would love to like hear like some of that side of the story if you don't mind.
Yeah. I mean, I grew up with Jermaine, right? Mm-hmm. So I was older than Jermaine, but I taught Jermaine. We were saying this last time about how to hold a hockey stick. Mm. That's what I did. I played hockey. Mm. I never really thought. We were talking about an East Boston standout last night. Mike mentioned the name to me, Ronnie Smoot. I was like, wow, that brought me back. But I was a hockey player. I played hockey. I played basketball in the BNBL. I played basketball in my neighborhood. But basketball and hockey for me as a kid, you know, and I excelled. I played, you know, anybody that will tell you about me will say that I was a pretty good hockey player, you know. Mm. And, yeah, I mean, it just, we were talking about it the other night about, you know, some things about, you know, what sports do for people. But our motto, we were talking about mottos that people had about sports. But our motto in East Boston Youth Hockey was, keep a boy out of hot water, put him on ice.
I like that. It's funny that you talk about Eastie. So I play golf once a week. And I play with a bunch of guys who are from Eastie. Like I got like this guy Jerry. They, you know, like we talk about,
they
like
brought up Jerry Sarah last night. Mark, you
know, Jerry Sarah. So yeah, I lived right across the street from Jerry Sarah.
So like, there's a guy that we, like I said, we this guy Mags, Johnny Mags is one of them. Yeah. His brother Brian. Then this guy Jerry. They call him the commish. They run like a half ball league in Eastie.
Yeah, East Boston in the gym at the Orion Heights. Yep. And so they play every weekend. My friend Danny Acasella plays.
Danny's, I've known Danny like this for 100 years. I know Danny.
Danny's, listen. One of the best kids you'll ever meet. And we're trying to have him on the show. We want him to be
Danny's
on the show.
Danny's unbelievable. The
dude, he's just got such a storied history. And he's like, I don't have nothing to talk about. I'm like, come on. I mean.
Danny's, I played softball with Danny, you know, like when he was younger. And
with
like
Jason Allen.
With Jason Allen, all those guys.
Ika, right? The kid Jason Calden.
Yeah. Ika's awesome. I mean, those guys. So when those guys were younger doing crazy, I seen with my own eyes.
Crazy.
Things that they would do. Of like they would hit guys in the head with bats, or they would hit like they were like nuts.
They were nutty kids.
They were crazy kids, right? But you like that because they were on your team, mm-hmm. so they always had your back. You know, you didn't have to worry about it. But
so like Jermaine was talking about that the other day too. Jermaine said, "Listen, you know, and like I say, listen, my thing is my lead all the time is I got the best friends on planet Earth.
Best.
You know, I've done. Listen." Left to my own devices, I don't know where I would be. I tell everybody I'd be in the Boston Common, one of them tinfoil sheets, sleeping tonight, you know what I'm saying? But I got the complete opposite, you know? So, but Jermaine touched on that too about, you know, how, like, you know, there's kids with a lot of heart, like, you know what I'm saying? Like Danny, like Ika, just solid kids, like, you know what I'm saying? Just like, and doing whatever they were doing all kinds of crazy stuff as kids, you know what I'm saying? Just, but
athletes as well, you know how great they were of athletes. Like, they were just great athletes. They
great
were just
athletes is right.
Playing great sports and doing well. And then, like I said, sometimes it's just, you know, make that mistake or whatever happens. It's just kind of like, you know, it just sucks sometimes, you know?
Laura Easy Money.
Got a very strong appeal. I'm like,
might take you off ice and get you in some hot water.
That's right. The reverse. Au contraire, mon
frère. Au contraire, mon frère.
What a show. Hi, Gene. What do you think, Gene? Talk to us. I'm the best. That's good.
Gene, how old are you?
I'm 40.
All right. You don't remember. You don't remember Shock G, right?
Shock G.
Remember Shock G?
No.
Digital Underground?
No. Oh, like the band?
Yeah.
All right. I don't know. You gave us some demo last week.
Shock G?
Oh, the best of when you never used to go to the
Palace? Underground with Tupac? Oh,
you never went to the Palace?
You dress up like that. You're the front man. Like, what's going on?
He dressed like Shock G, a little bit of mushrooms, a little bit of a Saturday night, drinking cocktails, you know what I mean, like a BBC, the best, under 18 drinking cocktails, you know what I mean. My uncle Bobby was the head of security up there.
Bobby Bartolomeo. Really? Yeah, head of security. Worked for Chris Scott and Russell Robards. Those are the two guys that owned the Palace. And he was the head of security for them forever.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. Now it's a Lowe's. I came back out of jail. Yeah. I wanted to go to the Palace. And it's a Lowe's.
Long gone, my friend.
It's a long gone. That ship is definitely
sailed. I thought I heard someone saying that we're going to thinking about bringing it back. Did you guys hear that at all?
So well, they had like a Palace night. They have like a Palace page on Facebook. But no, I never heard of them bringing the actual club back. But
oh, it'd be unbelievable.
Yeah, well, listen. We had something that nobody, there was like 20 nightclubs under one roof. Like,
oh, yeah.
Route like 1 was down crazy. In Nashville.
Yeah.
Tennessee. You ever get on there? I ran out of gas there.
I ran out of gas.
I'm only back from the Super Bowl. It's the only time I've been there. But yeah, that's about it. Opening night, Gene, is April 27th.
April 27th.
In Revere, not opening night, opening day. What time's the festivities start?
So doors open at, the game starts at 3:30. So I'm assuming guys are going to start showing up at 3:15.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's five games.
And food, what kind of food we got?
Pizza, maybe a few dogs.
All right.
But yeah.
Well, she might have to bring some stuff.
Not like the prime rib.
The fight's Walden, this one. Yeah. What are those fights anyway?
What are they?
Who's fighting?
Every year they have it. We just found out the kids fighting.
Remember the kid was on last night. Yeah.
Who's the kid?
Kid Scott McCloud.
Scott McCloud.
Yeah, kid I met when I was locked up years ago.
Okay, Boston Beer Man just texted me. Said, you guys still there?
Beer Man, the best. Capronegro, the best.
Yeah. Those are my guys.
He said, I hate this traffic. And I sent him a text back. Shoot the guy that beeps at you at his hoplight. Be a man.
when I was in Columbia, he sends me a video. He's in his car. He goes, tattoo your name on a broad's ass. Be a man. I follow later in the tattoo shop.
We can't make this up, Gene. You know what I mean? Welcome to the podcast.
You want to take it to another level? Let's bring the podcast to Columbia. We should do it. Hey, you got to meet us over there.
Mr. Lush got his teeth done in Columbia.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Yeah. I paid fucking, what, $350? Yeah,
$300 and a cannoli.
Yeah, that's it. I paid $300. Imagine. Wow. They took care of me out there. They saw my videos and they're like, yeah, we'll take care of you.
Yeah, I love it.
Good stuff. All right, Gene, thanks for coming 50, on, man.
50 in the books.
Yeah, 50 in the books.
My pleasure. Absolutely. My man, listen, I can't wait to see you play.
We're going
to
be there. We're going to be there just 27.
We got 50 in the books, kid.
That's 50. This is the silver anniversary.
This is unbelievable.
We got Shock G, Gene, Johnny Bod, me. That's a wrap. Thank you, Justin.
In the books.
This one's half fresh.
Nice.
If you're wearing a mask out there, the fresh air's gonna get you. He always shoots from the hip for iced coffee, take a sip, toss it.